Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I love coming together and studying the Word of God. I'm glad that you've joined us today. If you would now open your Bibles to John chapter 5, we're going to be reading from the 13th verse down through the 18th verse. John chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. So if you'd please open your Bibles right now and find those verses of Scripture, chapter and verse, because I want you to read along as we study that Word today. As we're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to hear from you. I hear often from folks, and I love to hear and know your requests so I can pray for you, or your praises that I can lift those up as well. And if you would please just address it the same, Parkview Bible Church, and of course Hamilton, Illinois, 18th and Church Street. But the box number is 43, and the zip code is 62341, if you'd like to add that as well. Now please, if you join me now as we read the Word of God, we're to John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 13. He that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus finds him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Let's please go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this study today. Father, I do enjoy this opportunity, and I thank you for it. I ask that you'll take this time now and bring nothing but honor and glory to your name. Please, Lord, that you will take these words, your word, and just touch each and every heart with the power and the strength of your word, that their lives will not be the same, Lord, when we finish today. To come to you and to trust in you by faith for salvation, to have our sins forgiven and be set free, and then to begin a wonderful walk with you, Lord, that's a walk that will take the rest of our life and will enjoy the rest of our life. Please that you will touch us, change us. Please that we need be not the same after we've studied the Word today. We should never be the same when we've come in contact with you and enjoyed that special fellowship that you give us, maybe with a church service, Lord, or with this Bible study, or any time that we open the Word of God by ourselves. And that quiet time that we have, any time, Lord, it should be touching our hearts and changing our lives. Please, Lord, now speak to our hearts as we study these verses, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been through now for a few weeks concerning this man that was lame from birth, and he was not able to get up and to walk, to do anything in that light. And we find that the Lord Jesus came into his life, and he commanded him, according to verse 8, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately a man was made whole, according to verse 9, and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. We talked about how that they had a problem with that, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of the day. They had a serious problem with this man getting up and walking on the Sabbath day. And, of course, they believed that that was breaking the law. We know if we would go back into the law, we would find that it did not break the law. It did break tradition. But it did not break the law, because the law of God, God himself, would never break, would not give one law and then turn and break it. And he did not hear as well. He did not break his word. God's word is true, and God's word is right, and it's never changing. And so it's a glorious time to study the Word of God, knowing that the only thing that's really in this world that is true and cannot, we try our very, very best to keep our word. but sometimes we fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus, His Word, the truth, is just what it says. It's the truth. And it's never changed. And it's a joy to serve and to walk after the Lord Jesus. And as this man here listened to the command of God, which is so important, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," and immediately the man did so. And again, the Jews had a problem with that because it was a Sabbath day. It's so sad that they couldn't enjoy the witness and the testimony of this man that Jesus, God Himself here on earth, has the power to heal a man in such a manner like that, and that he could just take up his bed and walk. But instead of that, they focused upon something that was so minor, and that was that he did it on the Sabbath day. And they didn't have any problem really with this man walking on the Sabbath day. They didn't seem to go after him, but they sure did go after Jesus. You know, the world hasn't changed. The world still today sure goes after Jesus. They try to make everything seem so false and wrong, and the liberals today, it's so sad how that they attempt to destroy the Word of God. And I say attempt because they never will. They can discredit it all they want to. They can make lies about it if they want to. But it doesn't take away from its power and its strength as we use the Word of God to grow by and to bring others to the Lord Jesus. And so as people do that, as you hear preachers preach lies and change the Word of God, it's going to be a sad day, the day they meet the Lord Jesus. And we'll find down here in verse 22 that it tells us that for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. These liberals are going to face the Son, the Lord Jesus. And they'll stand before Him. And that's going to be a horrifying day. That's going to be a terrible day because they have taken God's Word and ruined it and distorted it and changed it. And here the Jewish leaders speak of the Lord Jesus as blaspheming God the Father. Well, in truth, they are. They are blaspheming the Father by misusing the Word of God, and it's done today so often. This man, we find now, has gotten up and has walked, and the question was asked him, then asked they in verse 12, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And in verse 13 is where we started, and I know that seemed to be somewhat of a strange place maybe, but it was the place that we ended last time, and it says, "He that healed was not who what?" He didn't know. For Jesus, there was a great multitude, for Jesus had conveyed Himself away. And so he did not know who it was that spoke to him in this manner. But he said with such power and such strength. And you know, many times when we first become acquainted with the Lord Jesus, I remember the first time that I was given the Word of God and given the Gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, that I really questioned it. And the reason that I did is because of my teaching, my upbringing, what I had been taught, which was not the Gospel. Oh yes, we celebrated Easter and Christmas and the virgin birth and the crucifixion at those times. But the special time was never given to us, that special time of the Gospel. The committing your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus. You know, a lot of people, they think that they should, people would just straighten up after a while. Maybe if they go into prison, perhaps, why then they'll come out reformed. No, they won't, not without Jesus. You see, they must come to Jesus. Everything is set upon a decision that you make or do not make. Are you going to come to Jesus? You know, as we end each one of these programs, I ask that question, what are you going to do about Jesus? Well, that's a question that I mean and a question that I have from the bottom of my heart. What are you going to do about Jesus? And that's a question that you must answer. These people here, as they witnessed this man get up and walk, and this man got up and walked, but the Lord Jesus seemed as though he immediately had passed through the crowd, and there was quite a multitude there, and so he was kind of lost in the crowd. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried to find somebody. You knew that they were at a certain activity, and there was a great group of people there, a crowd there. And all of a sudden, you're looking over this great mass of people, this multitude of people, and you can be looking right at it, the individual that you're trying to find, and you can't see them because they all just kind of blend in together. Well, the Lord Jesus, upon telling this man to rise up and walk, and he rose up and walked, the Lord Jesus chose this time to kind of fall back into the crowd to where no one really saw him. And when they asked him who did this, he didn't know. He listened, and he did what he was told, but he didn't know who it was. Now, isn't that something? He didn't know who it was. Let's continue now to see if this man ever finds out who it was. In verse 13, it tells us he didn't know because Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Now, verse 14, afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple. Well, that's wonderful. He found him in the temple. What a place to go. I wonder how long that this man had wanted to go to the temple and to worship and praise the Lord. How long had he laid at that place awaiting someone to put him into the pool so that when the water stirred, that somebody could put him in the pool first. That was what the tradition had taught that was the healing, and we've been through all those verses of Scripture. But here we find that this man, by the Lord Jesus, not by this pool of water, but by the Lord Jesus, he could walk, but he didn't know who it was. But I'm very thankful that this man chose, even though he didn't know who it was, that he chose to go to the temple. And there he ran into Jesus once again. You see, Jesus found this man once, and he was laying and lame and couldn't walk. And he spoke to him. Jesus spoke to him. And he physically healed him. Now, the Lord Jesus can do anything that he chooses to do. Here was a miracle to show that he was God. God was glorified because of this. Many people hated him, which is no different today. People like their philosophy and the tradition that they have, but they hate Jesus. And I'm talking about some people in church. When you tell them that they need to turn from their wicked ways and turn from their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus, that he will forgive them of their sin and set them free, they don't want to listen. They don't believe they have all that much sin. Well, they do. You do. Every one of us do. I had to face my sin. You have to face yours. Now, you can carry your sin all the way to the grave, and you can stand before the great judge, being the Lord Jesus. See how you fare. You can do whatever you want to do. But I'm not going to do that. Because, you see, I've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. This man healing, Jesus healing this man, the next time that we find him at the temple. Now, did he go there alone? Did he go there with others that led him to the temple? And they had a problem with him because it was a Sabbath day, and here he had his bed. He was carrying it, and that was a problem. Well, there was a witness and testimony that I have come, the Lord Jesus said. I have healed this man. And also it was a stand for the truth because there was nothing wrong with him carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. Each time we look to the Word of God, we must come to the truth and look very carefully at it to see that we are following the Word of God in truth. Many times we're following in tradition because that's what we were taught. I try very carefully, very prayerfully, to study the Word of God and search the Word of God. I hope that you do the same because that's the only place that we'll find the truth. The Holy Spirit will guide and lead us. Now, how this man got to the temple, who took him, did he come by himself, all those questions we have no answer for. But it's wonderful that he was there. Once again, Jesus finds him. Look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Was he healed physically in verse 9? Was he healed spiritually in verse 14? What happened to this man? One time he didn't know who healed him. And we know now in verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. They continued to question, they continued to ask. And we find here that now he knows. I know when I first came under the sweet word, and I've been raised all of my life in church, missed very, very few services of being in church when the church doors were opened. And yet I lived almost half of my life without the Lord Jesus. And I know before I was saved, spiritually saved, my sins taken away and me set free and the door opened that I can come in and visit and fellowship with the Lord and go right to God the Father because of the Son, the Lord Jesus. All this became possible because the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and died there for me. But you see, when I first come to know the Lord Jesus, when he first come to speak to me, I didn't really know him. He continued to lead me and direct me. The scripture even calls the words, the actual Greek word is to drag. God drags us to him. And unknowingly, he was doing that to me. But never let anyone convince you that there isn't a decision that needs to be made. God will not force you. He does everything he can do to bring you. And he could force you, but that's not the character of God. He gives it in a free gift, an opportunity, and the door is open that you can come to Jesus, come to his Son, and be saved. The Father opens that door for you. He sure opened the door for this man. He showed him who he was. But that man had a decision. And the next step we have him here in the temple. And the Lord Jesus makes these beautiful words to him. And he says, "Behold, thou art made whole." There's only one way that a man can be made whole. And that is by the faith that you have to come to Jesus. A faith that's God-given. A faith that's spirit-driven, but we have to open our heart. And we find here in the 14th verse that this man's heart must have been opened. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." You know, after we walk after the Lord Jesus, we are set free from all sin. We finally, for the very first time in our life, have the power and the strength to walk the life that God wants us to walk. Now, the flesh is very strong. The mind is set so much upon the things of this world and the desires of this world. But we must set our life and our heart upon serving and walking after the Lord Jesus. This man here is given a beautiful command or words from the Lord. "Behold, thou art made whole." That's what happened to me the day I was saved. The day I was made whole. That was in the summer of 1975, is the day I was made whole. Before that, I was nothing but broken and sinful. And I needed a Savior. I needed someone to take my sin away. And I thank the Lord for his word. I thank the Lord for the Spirit that directed me, that brought me to the Lord Jesus, gave me that faith that allowed me to turn my life to him and was saved. My sins were forgiven. My life is set now to serve him. And I have many decisions to make. Because you see, I'm saved. But I still have the old sinful nature. So day by day I have decisions to make, to serve the Lord or not to serve the Lord. This man is told, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. He meant that in two ways, didn't he? He was made whole physically, and he was made whole spiritually. Oh, the healing of a lame man, the raising of the dead, all these things the Lord Jesus did, and also did the apostles. It's something that left immediately after that, though. Today, the healing that you have in some of our churches, that healing is not of God. Now, I hope you understand that, because that ended. That kind of healing ended with the apostles. It was a power given from the Lord Jesus unto the apostles that they may begin the church. But when the church was in place and we have the Word of God, no longer are those examples necessary. That healing, showing God's power, that it is from God. We have the Word of God. We have everything in print, and it's His living Word. And we need to be very careful that we do not get tied into these groups and these healings. And we can go right on through with the speaking in tongues. All these things left with the apostles. These things started through the clear definition of who Jesus was. I am God. And we'll find this here in healing this man. And this man now has a statement. He said, "He has made me whole." What a testimony that he is giving to these Jews about his own body physically and his own heart spiritually. I have been made whole. And when he made that statement, that was a true statement, because he was whole inside and out. Now, let's look to see what happened. We would think that the church leaders would begin to rejoice. And they would rejoice with great joy. But let's see what verse 16 says. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." We spoke earlier that this was to bring glory unto the Lord. And now we find that it has done nothing but brought misery unto the Lord, because they are seeking to kill him. They're seeking to put him to death. How can this be, and why? And again, let's read verse 16. "Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." What awful things did Jesus do on the Sabbath day? This is church people. You know, people today have such a problem when I am asked about a certain church or a certain television preacher or something like that. And I don't sidestep it. I don't speak of it lightly. I tell them the truth. And I tell them what I believe according to the Word of God, that church or that preacher, how that he has left the Word of God, how that he is there preaching something false. Now, many times folks don't come back to me. But usually those folks don't go into the Word of God to confirm it either. And what I tell them is nothing short of what the Word of God tells us. Because we have proof here that already we have Jews. We have God's chosen people. We have these leaders that sought to kill a man because he, Jesus, chose to heal this man on the Sabbath. Does that seem like something that's worthy of death to you? That he healed somebody on the Sabbath? He took a man that wasn't able to function at all. He was nothing but a beggar. And he put him back into society so he could earn his own keep. And I believe without a question that we should earn our own keep. We should work every day, and we should live within those means of what we have raised, what we have made, and live within those means. But this man here couldn't. He was doing all he could do, and that's just beg for his food and beg for someone to put him into the water. But instead of that, Jesus came into his life, and he made him whole, and he made him no longer a burden upon society. He made him a man that could go and do anything that he chose to do because he was whole now. For the first time in his life, he was whole. Now, why couldn't these people rejoice with that? Why couldn't these people see the good in that? Because you see, there's nothing but evil in the heart of man. That's the reason you need a Savior. That's the reason you need to come to the Lord Jesus. Man is so wicked. When they saw the Lord Jesus, when they came in contact with the Lord Jesus, it made them feel miserable. Now, instead of rejoicing and feeling wonderful and having a peaceful heart and a contented heart because of Jesus has come into our life, if you keep Jesus on the outside and don't come by faith to Him, don't trust in Him as your personal Savior, don't commit your life into the Lord Jesus, if you choose not to do that, then you'll want to get rid of Jesus too. You won't want to be around people that talk about Him. You won't want to be around people that are truly saved and living for the Lord Jesus. You won't want to be around them. You'll go find some liberal bunch to be around, and there's a lot of them out there, so you won't have any problem finding them because you'll be much more comfortable. I've watched folks here that have come. They've come for a short season. They've listened to the Word of God, and they chose to go to another church. And the saddest thing is that the comments that returned was that they were very comfortable in that church. They were not comfortable here. Maybe one spouse was, but the other wasn't. The one that wasn't comfortable is the one that's lost. They are not saved. They're not saved to this day, but today they're comfortable, because no longer is the truth being preached where they're at. They should have stayed. Not that this is the only church. There are other churches to go to that preach the truth as well. But you better find them. But don't go to a place where you're comfortable. Go to a place where the Word of God is preached. And you may not be comfortable for a time, but if you'll come to Jesus, that comfort will come. That joy will come. That peace will come. This man was made whole. He departed, and he told them it was Jesus. You see, he knows now. When you first become introduced to the Lord Jesus, you may not know Him. But when he was made whole, he knew Him. And we have that according to verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole." The same power that healed his body came by the same power and strength to heal his spiritual body. And it can be done because Jesus was on his way to the cross. We got to the cross of Calvary. There he died for you and for me that we may live. And he died there upon the cross of Calvary, taking all of our sin away. You see, the only price that can be paid for sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, Jesus had to go to the cross. He was the first and only perfect man that has ever been upon this earth. Now, I know some folks think they're pretty close to perfect, but they're not. Jesus is the only one. So he's the only one that can be our perfect sacrifice. And he offered himself for your life, for my life. He took all those sins, and he took them to the cross. And he died there, that you and I can live. That this man here can hear the words, "You've been made whole." That I can hear the words, "You've been made whole." And when I come by faith to Jesus, that's the very words that I hear. And don't be surprised when they seek and they hunt you down and they don't like to hear the words of Jesus. They don't mind to hear the words God, but they don't want to hear the name of Jesus. My friend, are you going to come by faith to Jesus today? Please do. What are you going to do about Jesus?